It's very good to get to be here with you again. And I'm still of the same opinion that Bethlehem Church is a very good model of the Lord's New Testament Church. In any way you want to look at it or think about it. My subject is the same as it was, I reckon, a year ago. And that's not any surprise to you, is it? But I'd like for us to turn to Romans chapter 4. And we'll just start and we'll read a while, if that's all right. But there's another place I want to read. Before we read there, it's a very interesting reading. In Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, my hope is that before I sit down, and I hope that don't have to be too long, don't get too discouraged, but that maybe we can pray and the Lord will bless us to see a little more of how his people need to live. Could I say to you that if you are seeking physical blessings, live according to the moral rules of the Bible. And you shall have them. The Lord promised them. If you seek mental blessings, follow the Lord's rules for mental blessings, and you shall have them. But you can have both of those in abundance and miss what God would have you to have in this world. I asked a question one time. I'll probably ask it here, but let me do it again. Is God's will always done? If it is, then why do we have Hebrews 3 and 4? Now, when you talk about God's will for his chosen people and them being conformed to the image of his son, amen. It will always be done. But you can't apply that to the now salvation, in my understanding. Because God's will has not always been done in my life. I'm a living example of that. And if God's will was done in our life, would our life be better? Yes. Isn't that interesting? I pose you a question then in the light of that. If you and I were blessed to live as the Lord Jesus Christ lived, would our life be the best it could be? Come on now, don't hesitate on me now. Why would you hesitate when I asked that question? Did I not word it right? You understand what I'm saying? Would your life be the best it could be if you lived it like Jesus lived his? Yes! Where's the amen card? Somewhere. There ought to be some around here somewhere. But you understand what I'm talking about? Folk, if we don't believe that the life of Jesus Christ was the best life that was ever lived in this world, we in a world of hurt.
Amen.
We're in a world of hurt. Because what that does, it makes us make our life somewhere comparable to his. And that just won't fit in my thinking, unless you're a whole lot better than I'm suspicion. Well, that's the way you make friends and influence people, ain't it? Yeah. Wow. Isn't that wild? Huh? I want to ask a question that I asked in Georgia, I don't know what, a couple of years ago. Was God satisfied with the lifestyle of John the Baptist? What was his lifestyle? What did he eat? His meat was T-bone, taters, gravy, biscuits, ice cream. No? Locusts and wild honey. Was God content with his lifestyle? Where did he live? Where was his mansion? Where was his tent? You ever read of John the Baptist having a tent? Paul was a tent builder, but I don't know about this man, John. But I'm asking you, what have we lost or given up to follow Christ? If we're not willing to give up the perishables of this life, how badly do we want to follow? And these all perish with the using, am I right? So what I'm trying to say is, Lord have mercy, I need help beyond myself. And I'm not trying to be pharisaical about that. But I want to talk to you about a little word called faith. I don't want to talk to you about a theological term. I want to talk to you about the meaning of the word in the scripture. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'll start off with a question. And then we're going to read in a minute, Lord willing. Does God give every one of his elect the same measure of faith? Be careful now. Be careful. You may argue with me, but I'm going to say yes. For God hath dealt to every man the measure, not a measure, but the measure of faith.
Amen.
You follow me? The little and the big and the great and the none are terms that express the degree of the exercise of that gift. And that wasn't what I was talking about. I was talking about, is the gift the same for all of the Lord's people? And if the gift is the same for all, do not all have faith in God? How could you believe that God is, except how the Holy Spirit told us through Paul? You understand? So, faith is not just a theological term to be batted around in religious circles. We get amused every once in a while. Somebody says, this paper is sent to you by faith. Free will offerings always gladly accepted. Who are they depending on to keep the paper going? Who is their faith in? It's in the people who send contributions, isn't it? But if it was a paper that was sent by faith, who would they depend on? Isn't that amazing? Can we not depend on him? Excuse me. Can we depend on him?
Yes.
Is he dependable?
Yes, sir.
Is he worthy of our confidence?
Yes.
Has he not done all things well?
Yes.
Did he not do all things that please his Father. That's the best life there is. But who wants to follow him physically to enjoy the best life there is? No takers? I'm being silly, aren't I? Ada, Amma, or something. I don't know. But follow with me a minute, please. I'm saying that for us to believe that we are living by faith, when we say what has already been said in this meeting, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Would you bless me in what I'm going to do? And that's called living by faith. That's a 9-carat joke. There's no faith involved in that. Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Would you bless me in what I have already decided to do? Where's the faith in that? And if you can find it, who is it in? Is it in yourself? Huh? And you're saying in reality, Lord, I can handle it until the things get a little bit tight and I may need some help. Would you come and help me? But could I tell you, that's a different expression than what the Bible says when it says the Lord is our help. I give you a feeble illustration. You could probably play last year's tape and it sound almost identical. But I have. Anyway, when we come to the place to where we are confident of what the Bible says we are, instead of what we think we are, we may discover an inability that we've never known. I'll give you, for instance, how often do you pray for tomorrow's meal? How often do you pray for something to eat tomorrow or today? Why would you need to ask the Lord for something to eat? For heaven's sakes, the refrigerator's full, the cabinet's full. Why do I need to ask the Lord? Why would I need to depend on him for today or tomorrow's food when I got plenty of it? Are we living by faith? You understand what I'm saying? Who are we depending on to put the groceries in the cabinet? Huh? Do you follow what I'm saying? Who did John the Baptist depend on for his grasshoppers and honey? Who did Elijah depend on when the drought came and God sent the ravens to feed him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening? Are you willing to be a prophet of God if that's the lifestyle? Or are you only willing to be a prophet of God if the church pays well? And if I can have it on my social standards? Is there a difference between living by faith and living by sight? Is there a difference between works and grace? How do you have access into the grace wherein we believe we stand? How do you have access into that grace? Paul said, excuse me, the Holy Spirit used Paul to say, will you tolerate that? Hmm? That gets it where we need it, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit used Paul to say, by faith you have access into this grace wherein you stand. Hmm? Isn't that interesting? Well, I thought I got it from the preacher. That's where I learned it. From Brother Marvin Smith. Or from Brother so-and-so. Or I went to church and I learned it over there. That's okay. I'm not going to say God can't use people because I believe that's what he does. And that's the whole point of faith. If God is not using us, who's using who? You follow me? I'm going to say it like I think it. If God is not using me, then I must be using him. And I don't like that connotation one whit. I just don't like it at all. And, dear Lord, this is what I've decided to do. Would you bless me? Is nothing short of using God. But, dear God, what would you have me to do? Isn't that where faith begins?
Yes, sir.
But if I know what I need to do, why do I need a higher power to tell me what I should do? So who's in the driver's seat? You follow me? Is this just nonsense? I want to say to you, dearly beloved, faith and the exercise of it is how you have access to the abundance of the blessings we were told this afternoon that are ours by the grace of God. We have access to the fruit of the Spirit only by faith, not by works. If the reward is according to the works, God reckons the reward as of debt and not of grace. So how do I claim that I'm living by grace through faith and God's blessing me if at the same time I expected him to because he promised and I done what he said? Now when's he going to pay? Where's the faith in that? I ain't going to tell you who my wife's faith has been in for the last 61 years. But I am going to tell you, she followed this old boy around for, we counted up the other day, 33 moves in our 61 years. Huh? She followed me for some reason. Could it be that she believed that wherever I thought we should be, that's where she thought we should be? Did she have that much confidence in me? I didn't say it was right. I didn't say it was just. I said, did she have it? I'm going to tell you yes, as many times as I know how to tell you. Because she never asked any questions except, if that's what you want to do, Daddy, I need some boxes. Never any other questions. Do you really think this is what you need to do? I really not ready to go, but I ain't ready to give you up yet. So if you're going to go, I want to go with you. That wasn't the problem. Wouldn't it be something if I could follow my Lord as faithfully as my wife has followed me, depending on me, by the grace of God, to fill the role I trust God gave me to fill. Now, you all know why you've needed to pray for her all these years. See? Isn't that wild? Lord, have mercy. Hebrews 3:4. Tolerate me a little, and I appreciate it. In verse 6 of chapter 3, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. You see the emphasis. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. I don't care how much terminology we use to say that we've entered into the rest of God without believing, trusting him. We'll never enter into his rest. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. You can all use all the theological jargon you want to. It won't get you there. These people did not enter in. I'll just tell you a little of it and go on. It was those people that the Lord told to cross the Jordan. Remember? And they said, you brought us out here to kill us and our children. Lord, if I follow you, I'll have to have a lifestyle like John the Baptist. I can't do that. Was God happy with his lifestyle? Anyway, what I'm getting at is this, beloved. Those people who said that died in the wilderness in the next 40 years. What was it? All above 20 years of age, died in the wilderness. Is faith important? Was it important for those that were above 20 years of age? What did they lose when they didn't live by faith? They lost all they trusted in was theirs. They lost their very life itself. Within the next 40 years, all of them died. I can't imagine room for that many processions. You count up the number of Israelites there were, and when that many, all above 20 years of age, died, you're going to have the shovel moving pretty regular. But that was all because they did not do what the Lord told them to do. They did not believe God. They were God's children and they believed he existed, but they did not believe him. Okay? Could I tell you there's a parallel in that for us in daily life as well as for our whole life and as well as for our churches? That if we will not live by faith, we are dying. There's no other words that I know of that will fit. Who is the life of the church? Come on. If there's no faith in him, how is he the life of the church? Ain't we dead if there's no faith in him? See the parallels I'm talking about. I don't know if it fits, but that's the way it fits to me. Beloved, could I tell you? He said, I swear in my wrath. Who was that against? His people. It wasn't all them bad folk. It was all them good folk that didn't have any faith. They had faith, but they didn't exercise it in God. Did I get it fixed? Thank you. All right. But you understand what I'm talking about. There were some people in Acts, I forgot what chapter, 3 or 5, somewhere along in there, that said, we sold it for so much. And they lied to the Holy Ghost, and what happened? It's kind of like Abraham when he said, she's my sister. They didn't believe God could take care of it enough to trust him to take care of it, even if the king of Egypt knew. He could, didn't he? Beloved, too much on the table or on the plate or whatever you want to talk about. I gave you a little summary of what I think is in Hebrews 3, 4, and 5, 3 and 4 primarily. Those people That was an Old Testament example. I gave you one New Testament example. But you remember one of the churches of Asia? The Lord was in the church and they didn't know it. And there was another church the Lord wasn't in and they knew he was. Something wrong there somewhere, ain't they? Huh? Isn't that wild? So I want to read to you a little bit now out of Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. I want to ask you, did Ishmael's 12 sons give Abraham reason to glory? But not before God. How come? Because Ishmael was not the product of God because Abraham believing God. You get it? Whatsoever is not of faith, and without faith it's impossible. I got that from Brother Mark. He preached my soul this afternoon. Beloved? I hope that don't put him in a bad light. But Abraham is our model here, okay? In chapters 4 and 5, Abraham is the primary model. Did Abraham always live by faith? He left Ur of the Chaldees by faith. But did he always please God? I want to pose a question for you. When you and I perform what we plan to do in our own strength, without asking, Lord, what would you have me to do, are we living like Abraham? Just a question. So we go on down and we find some beautiful things, but I want to go to the bottom of the chapter. In verse 19, he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. If you live by faith, does that manifest that you love God? If you don't live by faith, what does that manifest? Because the apostle tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us through the apostle that faith worketh by love. We heard some about that today beautifully. If love is how faith works, can you see the necessity and the beauty? Not just the beauty, but the necessity of understanding what we are by nature. I think we would cease having problems with ourselves if we could ever comprehend and hold to the idea that what I am by nature in Adam is sin. We would understand that we couldn't operate in the works of the flesh and please God if we understood that. But the Galatians didn't understand it. The Romans didn't understand it. What makes me think that I understand it? So, the situation that I'm talking about is that faith is something that we need to have as an experience in our lives. Isn't that what we just read about Abraham? He came to the experience of his faith in God, and it was a kingdom of heaven experience. Every experience of every child of God, old Baptist or not, is a kingdom of heaven experience. That was kind of light, but anyway, okay. The Lord's church just has available the greatest kingdom experience that can be had in this world. Because the Lord's bride knows more about her husband than anybody else. And that's how come the experiences are greater. And if we are treated as he was treated, because we live as he lived, we will see the need of faith more and more and more in our life, because as Brother Mark told us this afternoon, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God, you get it? That's how he endured the tribulation and the patience and the experience and had the hope, was all by faith, wasn't it? You have access into this grace wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God by faith. Faith is important. It's just not a word to throw around lightly. And I'm going to tell you that God has given every one of his children faith so that they can trust, believe, and have confidence in him. Are you with me? That's not confidence in the arm of the flesh. That's confidence in him. But I got to get to this part pretty quick. I want to read and talk about a lot of other things, but there's no time to do that. When it tells us here in chapter 4 what Abraham did, let's read on down just a little bit further. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If I believe God could take care of me, why wouldn't I want to trust him? But if I just talk that he's able, but don't believe he will, I'm not living by faith. I've told you this little story before, but I want to tell it again. No, I don't. Okay. Now, back to the word. Okay. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Could I tell you, your experiential imputation of righteousness in this life after regeneration will always be the result of you feeling the need of God, believing that he is able, and if it please him, willing to provide your needs. Then you will have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. I believe he lived the holiest life, most holy life, the holy life of all lives. I'm going to tell you, he did not have to live that life in order to be the Savior. He was born a Savior, right? He did not have to live in order to be. Then why in the world would he put himself through 33 and a half years of torture? Especially 3.5. Why? I want to tell you, you may want to argue with me, and I'm wide open. I mean after church, after meeting here. I don't mean right now. I'm still open, but it's not the right place, okay? When the Holy Spirit said by the mouth of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:25, you know what he said? Most everybody here could quote it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Could I tell you, it didn't say died for it. If husbands are to love their wives, even as, which means in the exact same manner, Christ also loved the church and Christ died for the church, then husbands are commanded to die for their wives. Now, ain't that a bad thing to do to your wife? Just up and die. Even if it was for her, she's still alone. And then she'll need another to die for. And when do you quit? How many of them are going to have to die for? I'm telling you, that text does not mean that he went to Calvary and there died for his church. I can prove it by the next verse. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might, come on, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. If that means a church that's already holy, we got a problem. She needs to be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word. If that's the church in heaven, we got a big problem. Huh? But he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle. That's not in heaven, that's now. And when we are blessed to feel the need of God and come to him and can see that he is our only hope and we can live by faith in him, then that church is presented holy and without blame before him. He present her unto himself, holy and without blame, in this life. And that's a kingdom experience for the whole church. It's for this life, it's for now that he lived. He died that we might live with him in glory as his children. But he lived that we might live in time after regeneration by faith in him who lived. I'll tell you something that I heard not long ago. I don't guess I'm going to get to read the rest of it. That there are lots of people, and I don't know that they're all somewhere else, but who have a living fear from time to time that for all of this bad that I've done in my life, when is it all going to come down on me? Ever heard that? Lawsy me, I used to live in fear of that. Because I believe one of these days there's going to be a judgment and all of this is going to come down on me. I want to ask you something. If Jesus went to Calvary and there died for you, and God saves you because of what Jesus accomplished, and you live by faith, how can all that ever come down on you? Because he was judged in your place, and if you live by faith in him, that's when his righteousness is imputed to you, what you got to receive. I ask you a question. Does not repentance from the heart give every child of God a clean slate with God, regardless of their past? Whether it's religious or immoral, regardless of their past. Repentance from the heart before God in the name of Jesus Christ gives them a clean slate to live on. He said, well, they may suffer because of some of the things they've done. They may do that, but they're not held accountable for what they did because Jesus took accountability for them. And when you trust his life was lived for you, can you see? You can't pack that off on him. And his righteousness is put on your account. I want to read just a few verses in chapter 5 and quit, but I got to read a little in chapter 4 before I get there. Bear with me and forgive me. He said, now this was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. That means it's available to God's children today who live by faith as Abraham did when he was 100 years old, who believe that God's the only one who can give life in the midst of death. And if you believe that, you believe that he can beat the abortionist. But for us also, that's what he said, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him. If we believe on him. Well, preacher, how am I going to believe? Most likely never until you feel a need. But when you feel the need, when the cupboard is empty and the children are crying, do you have a need? Would you pray about it? Would he meet your need? You betcha. It was the publican that went down to his house justified. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did God meet his need? Therefore, being justified by faith, he had peace with God. Not eternally, but now. In time. Okay? And he enjoyed that peace. But beloved, if we don't feel the need, how are we going to exercise the faith? Because all you're calling on him out of is words, not from a need felt in the heart. You cannot obligate God with words. But God obligated himself to the humble, to the needy, to the poor, those people who were hurting, that had problems that only God could fill, and they knew it. He made them some promises. Read Isaiah 57:15. You'll find one of them beautifully. But follow with me just a second or two. This experience is available to God's children today. To live by faith in God. It might change your social standard of living. No guarantee. God didn't promise anything but clothing, wait a minute, and shelter. Wasn't that what he promised? And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was all he was talking about. He didn't even promise us a shelter, and don't think Brother John had one. Isn't that wild? But God gave him what he promised, and he was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And there was none greater than him, save he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. Who is least in the kingdom of heaven? The mustard seed. The mustard seed is the one that depends totally on a power outside of itself. Isn't that interesting? Is that by faith? Okay. I want to read the text that I said a while ago was in here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, you can't have any of that. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. To me, we rejoice in hope of the manifestation of the love of God. For that's what the glory of God is the manifestation of his love. And when love is manifested, you're living by faith. God bless you.